Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This is the 46th week of our look at the book of Genesis as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
Perhaps that's what Rachel thought. Well, if this doesn't work out with Jacob's God, because I'm going on that trip, perhaps Dad's God will kind of like a backup plan. I don't know. That's what many of these Bible scholars think. That's what it is. Others think perhaps because Rachel was so involved with Jacob and with the Lord that she no longer wanted her dad to worship those false idols. Could be. I don't know. We do know later on in the Old Testament there were some women who took these other gods and hid them and like a backup plan. But anyway, it's interesting. The Bible doesn't answer that question, why she took them. So that's, well, we'll see. The other thing, there's a third reason. Perhaps she disapproved of her father's idol worship. And on top of that, maybe she believed that they were, quote unquote, had magical powers. There was something to them, and she did not want them to reveal to Laban the way that Jacob had traveled, the path that they had traveled. So, you know what I'm saying? There's different thoughts and all why Rachel would take the time to steal these and take them away. The Bible does not say, but it's very interesting. When we're in heaven, we'll ask her one day, why'd you take those idols? And she'll tell, well, this is the reason. I don't know. Anyway, interesting. Verse number 21. So he fled with all that he had and rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward Mount Gilead. Now, he had a three-day head start. Quickly, I got to get through this. Got 10 minutes. It's a 300-mile journey from Haran to Mount Gilead. 300 miles. And remember, he had to bring his whole entourage with him. His sons, his wives, his cattle, his servants. It was a great caravan. It took them a while, okay? And we're going to find, look in verse number 22, and it's told Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled. So you get the picture here. I'll get through this pretty quickly from verse number 22, 24. He caught him in 7 days, and he pursued in 7 days, verse number 23. Took him 7 days to catch up. He had a three-day head start, so that means he was gone for 10 days. Jacob had left Haran in 10 days. He caught up to him in 7 days. Why? Because he had a smaller party. They had to travel slower. Jacob and them traveling slower. It took them a while, but he finally caught up to him in 7 days. And then verse number 24, and God came to Laban, look at this, the Syrian, in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good nor bad. Can you imagine what an experience that must have been for Laban? He didn't believe in Jacob's God. He believed in those little teraphims and these little idols that he worshipped. And by the way, what had they done for him? Nothing. And all of a sudden, the God of Jacob appears to Laban in a dream. I guarantee you, Laban, that opened Laban's eyes real quick. Wow. No wonder Jacob was blessed. This is the God of Jacob. And God told Laban, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Literally, he's saying, don't you hurt him. Remember David and the story about Saul? Don't touch God's anointed. Be careful, be careful. And God told Laban, don't you touch him. Speak to him bad and all. And so, verse number 25, Laban overtook Jacob. I love this. He pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. Now, verse number 26 is that confrontation. What hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters and as captives taken with sword? He goes on and saying, why did you do what you did, Jacob? Why didn't you let me kiss my daughters goodbye, my grandchildren? You didn't even let me say goodbye to them. And he was really going after Jacob and all these things. And look at verse number 28. You suffered me not. You didn't allow me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast done this so foolishly. And then verse number 29. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. Laban says, man, I could kill you right now. But the God of your father spake to me last night. Isn't that pretty good? He made Laban a believer, not so much a believer in trusting Christ as a Savior, but a believer in knowing that Jehovah God's a real God. In that, the God of your father spake unto me last night, take heed that ye thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Interesting. He told me not to hurt you, and he knew he couldn't go any farther with this argument. So he kind of turned it a little bit. In verse number 30, and by the way, why have you stolen my gods? Verse number 30, I love that. What kind of God could be stolen? I wouldn't want a God like that, you know. I mean, he took my gods, the one that I worship and all. Why did you steal them? Well, yeah, I wouldn't want somebody like that. But look at what Jacob said. First, he answered about why he left, because I was afraid, because I knew that thou would take by force your daughters from me. If I told you, pa-in-law, that I'm leaving, you'd say, okay, you can leave, but you're leaving my daughters and kids. You just go the way you came with the clothes on your back. That's why I left. And then he answers the thing about the stolen gods. Verse number 32, and whomsoever thou findest thy God, let him not live. Jacob had no idea that Rachel had took these things. He said, if you can find these idols, whoever took it in my household, we'll kill him. Kill that thief and all. Because verse number 32, for Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen him. I love this. Verse number 33. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, and he found them not. Then he went into Leah's tent, and then he went into Rachel's tent. Isn't it amazing how everybody has their own place? Leah and Rachel and Jacob and the maidservants and all these have their own little places. Rachel saw her dad coming, knew he was coming. Look at verse number 34. Now Rachel had taken these images, these idols, and put them in the camel's furniture. What is the camel's furniture?
Saddle.
Yeah. Be like the saddlebags. You know, the big camels they had the baskets and the saddlebags. They're very, very large. And she put them in that. And the Bible says she sat on the furniture. What I call it, the furniture. Sat on the saddlebag, if you will. Would a saddlebag be for a camel? That's a good question. Any horse ladies in here? You're one, BB. No more? Okay. That was in your past years, huh? Okay. They may be called saddlebags for... But anyway, the packs that ride on the camels, she put them in there. And the Bible says, verse number 34, she sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent and found them not. Verse number 35, she's sitting there. She said, let it not displease my lord, my father, that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of woman is upon me. What is she saying? She's saying it's my time of the month. I won't go any farther than that. But it, you know how the woman, the cycle and all, it's my time of the month. I can't get up, Dad. I have to sit here because that custom of woman is upon me. And that's it. I understand. And he searched and all through her, and he found not the images. He looked everywhere. He couldn't find the images. Now, Jacob's going to turn the tables on Laban.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And come visit us this Sunday at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church. The Blackwood Brothers will be with us in concert at 11 a.m. March 7th. at the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. We hope to see you there. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.